This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over 40 years of playing PlayStation, over 5 years in the gamers media combined. We thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? I'm glad you asked. Simply head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your questions, topics, and suggestions for the show. What's that? A week between talking PlayStation is too long? Don't worry, Billy, we got you covered. Join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, join us on Patreon. Join us and let's be friends. All those links in the video description below.
We should address the fact that if you're watching the video, Space in the middle here. Hey, this is Buddy.
What up, Buddy?
Hi. This is Buddy Watson from Review Culture.
It's our Buddy.
How you going, guys?
I'm good, man.
It's great to finally be here and all the way from sunny Queensland down to way in sunny Melbourne.
definitely our longest travelling guest.
That's true.
Now, it would be flattering if you travelled just to be on the show, but that's not the case. So
I did just come here for this.
That's what's really impressive is the fact that you're at time of recording, you are getting married tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're like, what are you going to do day before? I'm going to do a podcast.
Yeah, so the bride-to-be, she's off getting a massage and doing all the things. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Just sit at the hotel? He's like, well, you do whatever you want. I'm like, Ryan, Josh,
I hear you guys record on
the
show.
Yeah, that's right. Come join this PlayStation conversation.
Yeah, you're, like you've for some reason, so you live in Brisbane.
Yes.
And then you decided to get married in Werribee.
Yes.
Granted, the Werribee mansion. It's fucking beautiful.
No, it looks stunning.
It's such a big effing trip.
And everyone is traveling to Werribee as well. There's no one that lives in Melbourne that's coming to the wedding as well. So I'm just forcing all my friends and family
to come.
I'm
just saying, there are people in Melbourne that can come to a wedding.
I know, well.
We'll come MC that bit.
Sorry, I'd give cards on all the dinner tables.
This wedding was sponsored by the Pop Culturists. Yes.
No payment actually.
No money actually, change hands.
So first of all, thanks to the power of time travel, this will drop on Mondays, 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I know that my lovely bride-to-be will watch this. So first of all, you're amazing. The wedding was great. I haven't seen any of it in the planning process. But everything went off beautifully. It didn't rain. You looked stunning.
Kimberly, you looked awesome.
Yeah, and I can't, you know, I'm so glad this is the first day of the rest of my life.
And I'm glad father-in-law didn't get drunk and ruin it. That would be
really there we
go. So, Ryan.
Yes.
Other than what we played at EB Expo last weekend, what have you been playing?
It happens every time because I'm like, I don't remember. Mostly I've been playing not a whole lot, actually. A lot of Switch, which for a PlayStation show, we're going to fucking talk about Switch. Beating the shit out of Stardew Valley.
The game is multi-platform, so it doesn't matter.
And Golf Story, which is Switch only at this point. Yeah, it's dope. It's love it, because like, we were at EB Expo, and we found out like the day before we left that Stardew Valley will be dropping on the Friday around like at midnight. I'm like, fuck, we need to find some Wi-Fi like bad. Because we need this. And then like, we spent the whole weekend when we weren't at the expo in the hotel room, music playing.
Switch. Stardew Valley. It's a great game. I'm enjoying it too.
Yeah, you are like... See, this is what I love about this though. See, buddy, as I'm sure you've known, I love farming games.
Yes, of
and
course.
Josh never understood it until...
Oh my God, you get
three
it
days ago.
Yes. How far into Stardew Valley are you?
Fall of year two.
Year two? Oh my God.
It's not that I didn't get it. It's that I never really wanted to give up my TV to be playing it.
Yeah.
Like, if I was playing, because I have Stardew Valley on the PlayStation, I bought it when it came out. I played it for like, you know, 2 hours. But I'm enjoying playing it handheld while also watching something. Mm, I watched Jurassic Park while playing Stardew last night. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, I oddly fell on a Jurassic Park loop last night too on YouTube.
Did you?
Yeah. All these fan theories and shit.
What about Shadow of War? How's that?
And Shadow of War I've been playing as well. I streamed the first 2 hours the other day. Whenever day was. Tuesday, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Whenever day was. And I put about another 45 minutes into it this morning. Look, it is more of the same. Parts of it look prettier. Parts of it look the same. The Nemesis system is bigger and better. It's really kind of cool. So now, I don't know, now for life, I don't remember whether this is in the previous one or not, but there are, what do they call it? Like vengeance missions or something along like that.
Yeah,
so if someone kills you, then they tell you exactly where they are on that map. You just go and fuck them.
Yeah, but they also get promoted though, don't they?
Yes. Like, so same as the old Nemesis system, they get promoted. Mm. So they get a little bit more extra power, but there is a certain mission that's only for a small period of time where you can go and get added loot if you take them out straight away.
The Nemesis system for me is too much. Too much.
Fucking awesome.
Too much.
Big fan.
The completionist in me, I looked at the Nemesis system and I was like, I can't fall down this rabbit hole. I can't do it. What about you, buddy? What have you been playing? Anything?
Oh, so should I also mention about the Nemesis system? So one thing that we just discovered is that the captains now adapt to what you've done.
That was
so
awesome.
So previously you were just like, you're like, oh, okay, this guy has a shield, I'm just gonna keep jumping over him and taking him out, jump over and taking him out. And then halfway through the fight, the guy's like, I know what you're doing, and he adapts to it, so I can't jump over him anymore. He goes poof and launches me off.
That's cool.
So it's like makes you kind of in the middle of a heated battle rethink how you take out the person. So now I'm stuck because I have no arrows left. I can't jump over him. He has a big shield, so I can't attack him from the front. I don't actually know what to do.
Well, time to never play that game again.
Yeah. That's generally what happens. So yeah.
What about you?
That's pretty cool. Oh, what have I played in the last week?
We had a great
time
at EB Expo.
EB Expo was awesome, so we played a bunch of games there. Yeah. You guys have got some great videos up on YouTube about, you know, the impressions and everything. Mm-hmm. But you
got any content up?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you pimp that shit.
Yeah, no, we're in a bit of a hiatus at the moment just because of all the wedding stuff. We're going to get back into it once we go to PAX and everything. PAX but I picked up Zelda Breath of the Wild again, finally. So I haven't played it since, May? I think my save file was. I've already put 60 hours into it. Haven't done any divine beasts or anything, but I made a mission to, you know, that's my priority now. Next time I touch that game, I'm going to like start making indents into it. Yes, yeah. Actually do something instead of wandering around and falling off cliffs because my stamina bar runs out. So
you say again. So did you have it and then piss it off and then?
Yeah, I have the game. Then I stopped playing. Just because I wanted to get through Horizon.
Oh, so you just picked it back up.
Yeah,
so.
Picked it back up.
Yeah, okay.
I knew I was always going to have it. Usually you stop playing a game, you never come back to it. I always knew that, you know, this game I'm going to come back to and want 100%. So, I think that's going to be my December game.
100%.
Yeah. Get all 900 Korok seeds.
Yeah, that's right. Just to get that lame reward, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's something like
that. Looking forward into Q4. Like, October is fucking insane. Early November is insane. Late November and December is almost dead.
Cool, good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward back catalogue. So I want to get back into Stardew Valley on PS4. I'm thinking about winter in year one. So the release on the Switch has kind of hyped it back up again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I had a great time in winter. It was like, winter's boring. I had the best fucking, no crops to worry about. I got to the bottom of the mines. Yeah. I relayed out my farm how I wanted it for the next season. It was awesome.
It's good infrastructure for the rest of the year
two. It is,
year two.
You set yourself up for the entire year. I'm basically a microbrewery in Stardew. It's just fucking kegs everywhere. I'm making mead, I'm making wine, I'm making beer. I'm getting the town shit-faced.
Is that literally all you've been playing?
Yes. day before yesterday, I played Stardew for a while and the Switch needed charging and I was like, fuck! Because I don't want to play it on the TV. So I'm going to give Bloodborne another go.
Okay.
I don't know how far I was in Bloodborne the last time I played it. I think I beat like 3 bosses or something. But I'm going to start again. I'm going to really kind of get stuck into it this time. Because I loved the game without barely playing it just because of the aesthetic and everything like that. Played for about half an hour, died, turned off. I don't have the patience anymore. I don't know.
Are you going to jump on Danganronpa?
Yeah, why?
I was asking, I'm just curious, because I'm like...
I don't want to buy it.
No, we don't have to buy it. It's on the PopC account.
Oh.
You sure you didn't...
No, we were given a
card. Download that one in your personal account?
No, that one...
You didn't pull Manifold.
That one, I promise, is on the PopC account. All right. Yeah, don't pay. Yeah, no, we've got... I don't know if you hooked us up. Reboot hooked us up, I think.
Oh, nice. Cool.
And I need to get back into that too, and do more of that.
Cool. Yeah, that's it for me. That's all I've been playing.
Pretty straightforward. Easy done. That's when we head into... Now we've got that crap out of the way. We head into the news of the week, where we inform the players about... about that PlayStation news.
The thing is, last week's episode was done from EB Expo, talking about EB Expo. We did miss a little bit of news that week before.
Bit of catch up.
Little bit of catch up, mate. Only one, really. PlayStation President and Global CEO Andrew House is stepping down from his role, with current Deputy President of Sony Interactive Entertainment, John Codera, taking his place effective immediately, as of like 2 weeks ago at this point. Per the official announcement on Sony's website, House will remain with SIE as chairman for the year for the transitional purposes and stick with Sony as director and chairman of SIE.
So he's not entirely leaving Sony, he's just not doing this
particular role. Yeah, he's just stepped
down.
Yeah. He's chilling out a bit. I mean, he's kind of done, like, what else is there for him to do in the company? I mean, like, you look at Sony's dominance in the gaming market, and it's like, you know, get out while you're ahead, Like, there's nothing better he can accomplish for Sony at the moment, so just get down.
Imagine they're putting that on your resume. So it's like, so you're at PlayStation. I'm like, yeah, I left when we had 70 million consoles in the wild.
I'd imagine this guy would never have to send a resume ever again. Everyone knows Andrew House.
Yeah, he's the guy that gets headhunted.
So from what I understand, the guy taking over, John Codera, was mostly in charge of digital services up to this point. I think like PS Now and Vue and that kind of stuff.
All the successful stuff.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to...
Well, this is his moment now. Yeah, he gets to do
it's
the
his
Andrew
moment,
House
but
role.
The,
so.
The fucking the pressure, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because PlayStation's so far up, almost the only way to go is... down at this point, so
or plateau, just things stay steady.
All the best to him for the future.
Yeah, look, so people sort of, I think some people are speculating like what this means for PlayStation in terms of what, like, Andrew House did have a lot of control, he did have a lot of influence, but I don't know whether it'll be super transformative having this new guy come in,
but it could be as well.
I don't think, we're gonna randomly, he's gonna come in and be like, Vita 2 now that Andrew House is gone. You know, after last week when he made that comment, he's like, we don't need a Vita. You know what? Fuck you. My name's John. I don't need a Vita.
Now the Vita haters are gone.
After playing the Switch so much this last week, I can't touch the Vita.
I can't.
I don't even know where my Vita is.
It's just an yours is just like on the couch.
It's literally on the couch. I charged it. I was like, I'm going to bring it to EB Expo. I'm like, Stardew Valley. I'm like, fuck you. The Vita here.
Vita? What Vita?
Number two. This one, I put in for Rhyme, then I'm like, oh, it's kind of for me too, because it's got to do with Stardew Valley. In a Reddit AMA, Eric Barone, sole creator of Stardew Valley, discussed his thoughts on his next project and how he's learned from Stardew's development. Although he confirmed that he had plans for his next game in the AMA, Barone was initially hesitant to discuss future projects because, quote, creating hype too far in advance is a lot of pressure, and ultimately I don't think it benefits everyone. I prefer to work in an isolated bubble. But Barone said he is approaching his next project with a similar mindset to Stardew Valley. Take a style of a game that was never fully realised and carry out the tradition in my own weird way. That game won't be a Stardew sequel or expansion, but it will take place on the same planet. Barone intends to explore some of the lore that he fleshed out in his mind but did not yet include in Stardew. Quote, with my next game, I want to go all out with my ideas, take things to the extreme, create an even richer, more detailed game world, and delight players with continuous handcrafted experience, he said.
Nothing specific.
Well, we know he did confirm that his next game has to... from the screenshot, it's like a wizarding world. Because we know magic is in Stardew from the wizard and the Junimos, and like there's all this weird shit that... Well, when I first found the wizard in Stardew, I was like, what the fuck is this?
We're grounded. We're sitting in the hotel room, like I'm doing crops and then you hear this, what the fuck? Like, what? It's like, there's a wizard with a pentagram on the floor. Yeah. The fuck is this game?
So we know it'll be something along the lines of, I think it's like a wizarding school kind of thing. The fact that it takes place in the same universe is kind of like in the same world.
Part of the SVEU.
Yeah, Stardew Valley Entertainment Universe. But cool, man. Like this guy, look, I read pretty much the whole AMA, which was like 2000. Comments, but I just kind of went through it. And yeah, he worked on Stardew for the last 5 years all alone. He did the music, he taught himself the animation, the pixel art, like fucking everything. So
I've never said this before, I love this man.
I do too. And he said here, because someone asked, you know, do you want to expand your team, and he's like, no, because that takes away my
his vision, his control, his focus. Yeah. Like when you have a team, you can't really.
Yeah, and he don't like, he's with Chucklefish and another company that does all the ports and everything for him, but other than that, he's like, no, I'm alone. I'm, you know. So the next game might be 4 or 5 years away, but you know, he's fucking made it. Like one guy has made it.
Exactly.
What about you, buddy? Are you keen for some wizardry school action?
Absolutely keen. If it's anything like Stardew Valley with the intricate systems and kind of It's Stardew Valley is just so weird because it feels like a life. It's just a life simulator. Yeah. Like I'm on there trying to, you know, trying to hustle and get the money. My other mate is he's focusing on the social game. So
I got married yesterday in Stardew, right? You know, my wife Abigail is my babe.
Oh, babe.
Yeah, yesterday I'm getting married
tomorrow.
Oh,
nice, man.
Look at us go. We're all married now.
We just had a little quiet event. You know, I didn't want to invite too many people. The farm's not doing so well at the moment. Didn't have a lot of money.
Bullshit. You sent me a screenshot of you selling $53,000 worth of fucking crops.
What?
Just watermelons. Watermelon. That's my whole farm is watermelons.
It's melons.
But I found.
So you sell
night,
melons and beer?
Yeah, melons.
And Hooters.
Yeah, I sell melon beer. But I found that Abigail goes to bed at 10 o'clock every night.
Oh my god, Abigail's
that's
a girl
that's her
I'm
schedule.
Chasing.
It, really?
Yeah.
Like, she's awesome. She like plays music and video games and stuff. But I found one night it was like 9:45. And she wasn't home, and I didn't know where she was. And I got a little bit worried. I'm like, where the fuck is she? And then she comes home like half an hour later. I'm like, where the fuck were you? But I'm so attached to these characters. I'm like, where's my wife? Who's she with? Who's she talking to?
Josh is getting divorced tomorrow. And yeah.
It's a lifestyle. I've got two kids, and now I've lost them.
I've literally got a pumpkin patch with her name on it. Because I'm still trying to build up. I'm still courting her. So yeah,
just spell the crops into Abigail. That's right, Next bit of news. It has been announced via a tweet that Fortnite Battle Royale has amassed 10 million players just 2 weeks after release. From Fortnite's Twitter account, quote, "In 2 weeks since we've launched, over 10 million of you have played Battle Royale. We can't say thank you enough." That's fucking insane.
What happens when a game's free?
Free, yeah. It can be attributed a lot to being free. But if it was shit, most people probably wouldn't have jumped on it. Yeah. It's doing really well.
Notice how they haven't said like what the how many active players there are, just how many people have downloaded it.
Yeah, but how many people do actually do that?
What, download free shit?
No.
What fucking time?
Announce we've got X amount of active players. No one does that.
Yeah.
Does Naughty Dog come out and say The Last of Us multiplayer currently has 100,000 active players?
If you can brag about it, yeah.
Yeah.
If they can't brag about it, then no. Like, I'm not like this. I'm looking very pessimistic and cynical about
it. Yeah, you are. Mr. PUBG.
Like, you know... See, that's a PUBG. They do the active play account because
they
like,
have to because Steam.
We can.
They have to because Steam displays it to the public.
That's also true. But
so
like,
don't give them points for displaying public counts when Steam make them make it public.
No, but like there are times where people say like, "This is how many active players we have on consoles."
There are times they don't have to.
But they don't have to. I'm just saying.
I think with this,
it could be a good 2 million of those people that were like, "Oh, I'll check it out." This butt. And
so
there's
still 8 million players.
Yeah
shut up. No, I'm making a point.
Yeah.
It's, it's still impressive.
Why can't you just be thankful?
Very impressive.
Congratulations, Epic Games, for making a fantastic game.
Yeah, they're like, I've got it. I've played it twice. But mind you, I did download it before we went away, so I might play it.
Have you touched it at all?
Yeah, I downloaded. I haven't played PUBG because I'm generally a console gamer. So I'm like, oh, well, this is a good way for me to check this out to see if I actually want to go to the effort of making a Steam account and checking whether I have, the laptop will run it and stuff and get into this kind of phenomenon that's happening right now. Played it, liked it, enjoyed the concept. I think I played about 5-6 matches and then I just deleted it from the thing. I'm just like, I've had my
one
fill.
Of those people.
But I see what they're doing here, and you point to where they don't have to announce these numbers and it's more the active numbers. Stock, like, it's kind of that, stock sells stock on the shelf.
Yeah.
Whereas like, hey, look, our game is popular. A lot of people are playing this, and then people kind of jump onto that. And
that's
get
true.
On the roll,
like if you say, "Oh, there's 10 million value," we're like 10 million. Holy shit! I'm gonna pick that up.
It's like
it works.
It's like World of Warcraft still pitches. They got like 15 million players, and they're down to like 7 at this point. But they had at one point 15 million players.
Yeah. It's all the spin.
All the spin. But congratulations.
Nah, fuck yeah. That's actually fantastic. You literally are like, you're taking on your competition like by the fucking horns.
And to restructure what they were.
Yeah.
To like,
people forget that there is a single player mode.
Yeah, like the Fortnite game itself is really cool. Like, it is pretty cool.
No, it is cool. Yeah. I played a couple hours of a few weeks ago. It's cool. It's fine. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition will be released on the PS4 on December 5th for $50, Sony announced. The Complete Edition of Guerrilla Games' action RPG will package together the base game and the Frozen Wilds expansion, according to PlayStation on Twitter. Will also come with all digital deluxe edition content, which includes weapons, resource packs, a theme, digital art book. The studio Guerrilla Games has also announced that the Frozen Wilds will be Horizon's only expansion. That's awesome. I love how they named it expansion instead of DLC. Mm-hmm. Good, because that's what it is. Like, DLC and expansions have very different meanings, whether they're the same thing or not. Like,
they are all downloadable content.
It is all downloadable. But, The Witcher DLC, like Blood and Wine and Hearts of Stone.
They're expansions.
They are expansions.
And they're referred to as expansions as well,
because they are. And, you know, the Frozen Wilds too. And I love how they've just kind of gone, here's the game, here's a big expansion, and we're done.
Like, that's it. It's, yeah, it's kind of like Last of Us.
Milk
like,
we're not going to milk
last
it dry.
Of Us, he's left behind. Thanks. Exactly. We're heading out. Yep. We're moving on.
Not going to milk it dry, you know.
That's very good.
Who knows if they're working on Horizon 2? I'd imagine they probably are now. Do you think Killzone will have like a triumphant return, like in like 5 years?
I think Killzone's shelved for the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely shelved for the moment.
Like, because it came out of a time, like it was, as they refer to it, the Halo killer. Mm. And Halo's fucking dead now, so they don't need it.
Mission accomplished.
Like, we win!
Killzone 2's multiplayer was amazing. I don't know if you ever played it.
Yeah.
But the multiplayer in Killzone 2 was so fucking
good. I loved the first Killzone. Killzone 2 was dope. Yeah. Killzone 3 I never touched.
I wonder if they'll like tie the worlds together.
Oh man, that Horizon. Like, as in like the events of Killzone lead into the events of Horizon.
All the other way around or something.
I'd say it's the other way around, because isn't Horizon like the future? Like everything's gone down and then back up again?
But the Horizon's a prequel to Killzone.
Yeah, Horizon has been sitting in front of my TV for about a month now. I'm looking, every time I put it, I'm like, oh, I want to play that. But then like, it's normally I notice it because I'm putting another game in the console. Like Shadow of War. I'm like, I go put Shadow of War and I'm like, oh, Horizon.
You just feel real guilty when you're putting another game.
Oh, yeah. I'm like,
it's Horizon again.
I'll get back to you, Alan.
And it's going
to
happen like next week with like, you know, South Park. And be like, South Park, Horizon.
This is what your December will be for.
Yeah. Well, we'll have the Frozen Wilds by then as well. I'm reaching out to PlayStation Australia about that earlier in the week.
Yeah,
looking good.
I mean, I'll buy it either way.
So we'll stream the dick out of it.
I platinumed Horizon with the thought I'll platinum it, put it away, and then I don't have to think about it till the expansion comes out.
Is the expansion standalone? Have they confirmed that yet?
No, you do need the base game.
Damn.
You don't have it.
I traded it in.
Oh no! Did you finish it?
Yeah, I platinumed it.
Oh.
Get
I'm
this.
Not an idiot.
Get this. Get this ultimate.
Just
pack.
Get this ultimate.
Oh yeah, I'll just pick up. Pick up
a theme.
If a new job posting by Blizzard is any indication, the studio might be working on a new project related to Overwatch. We haven't had Overwatch news for a while here.
Yeah,
there was a period where it was like 5 weeks in a row.
You're kind of lost interest on Overwatch, didn't we?
My kid still plays it. According to a listing on the official Blizzard Careers website, the company is looking to hire a generalist artist intern to, quote, help create a wide range of assets for an unannounced project. Under the recommended talent section of the job description, it lists knowledge and understanding of the Overwatch universe, suggesting this new project is in some way related to Overwatch. I'm just wildly guessing it might have something. It might be like a single player game, because everyone loves the lore of Overwatch. Well, maybe not you. I don't know. The lore of Overwatch and the characters are very, very cool, and they're so recognizable. And you know, the lore is actually quite deep if you dig a bit deeper into it. But it's not displayed in the game at all, except for like little Easter eggs and stuff like that. Easter eggs to their own lore. I think it would benefit greatly from having a really good single player experience.
Mm. So how would they do that though? Because like, you know, I'm thinking in the same vein of like Injustice, right? Where they had little moments of each character. Do you think something like that? But then what would the overall story be in terms of a single player?
Oh, there's a lot of different stories they could do with this.
No, but I mean like, is it going to be like, you know, a bunch of fights? Or is it like a bunch of multiplayer maps but you're coming in, or is
it? No, I think it'll be from the ground up, you know, new levels and all that kind of stuff, you know. I think like a
Call of Duty campaign, like Overwatch.
A proper FPS campaign, you know.
That I would like to see.
I'm hoping that's what it is. I mean, it's obviously going to be a very long time before we hear anything.
I have a feeling it's just more characters. Maybe it's been more characters too.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think they've done all the exhaust of their characters?
No, but they've hired for that before, with different requirements.
These are
very different requirements to what they've hired for the current Overwatch game. So
you are Batman in detective mode right now.
Yeah, they're gonna get more cool things.
I pretend I know my shit. Veteran BioWare game designer and senior game director Mike Laidlaw left his position with the company. Laidlaw made the public announcement on his personal Twitter account saying, quote, "It's time for me to move on." Laidlaw has been with the company for 14 years working on huge BioWare games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age. Quote, "It's been an honor to be a part of the Dragon Age team," he said in his statement. "No immediate future plans were laid out beyond reconnecting with all the amazing games and worlds video games have to offer." In June, another force behind the Mass Effect and Dragon Age franchises, Aaron Flynn, left BioWare after 17 years. The project director on the original Mass Effect, Casey Hudson, took over BioWare's new general manager. A lot of big names, like, booking it from BioWare.
That's like, when we covered the first an announcement that What's-His-Face was leaving.
Mm.
We're like, oh, this isn't a show.
What's-His-Face?
This isn't a... I remember. Aaron Flynn, thank you. I mean, I was going to say Casey, but I thought Casey was his replacement, yeah?
Casey was the replacement.
Yeah. Yeah, so Aaron, when he left, we were like, this is not a sign of what's to come. This is not a sign of BioWare having a problem. It's just some guy that's been there for years. Mm. And this guy, on
also
paper...
Also been there for years.
It looks like the same thing. He's like, yeah, he's been there for years. He just wants to head out. I'm like, yeah, but that's two big dudes. Mm. Does that mean something going down BioWare? Anthem crumbling? Yeah.
What does that mean?
Hashtag clickbait?
Maybe they just want to keep being in the news.
Yeah.
We need someone to leave.
We need you to get leaving soon. Yeah, you're old. Leave.
I don't know what it means for Anthem. I don't know how involved they were with Anthem's development.
Probably not at all. I'm just kind
probably
of
not at all. You know, who knows? But you know, Anthem looks fucking sick.
Oh.
But
nothing.
You know, but
nothing's
BioWare's,
been said about it since E3. So it's very
BioWare's interesting. Name just doesn't kind of carry the weight that it used to at the moment. There's that new... Is it BioWare that's doing Biomutant, or am I mixed up?
No, I don't believe so.
I think I'm mixed up. But yeah, since like Andromeda's really kind of done a bit of damage to the to
yeah,
the
like it really has. Because, well, one, it's damaged a once-loved genre... not genre, once-loved franchise. And as a result, it's put a sting on a really good
name. The same thing with that. Like the latest Mass Effect... Andromeda was not received well. The last Dragon Age Inquisition was average at best. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought Inquisition was a fucking amazing game.
But a lot of people praised Inquisition. Like, I remember when Dragon Age 1 came out, everyone was kind of iffy on it. But they liked it with iffy, and then Dragon Age 2 they were iffy as well. Mm. And then 3, like, people loved Inquisition.
Yeah.
But part, you know, it was mixed. Mix is the word I want, not average, yeah. Mixed.
Yeah. They're all mixed games, so, you know, it's a very different BioWare we have in the industry at the moment.
And people just want nice The Old Republic again, and it's not happening.
I don't want it. Do you want it?
Nah, I don't care. Nice. Onward and upward to the future.
Star Wars is in the future, I guess.
No, it's not really. It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's what happened in the past.
So then, who's telling the story and what era? So who's telling the story from what year? Because if it's a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away,
it's like
away,
How I Met Your Mother. We'll never find out. Okay.
Yeah. Then eventually, like Luke will end up with Robin, and it's really confusing. Yeah.
The person telling the Star Wars story has the person with the yellow umbrella or whatever.
Yeah, and they also have a blue horn and blue milk. It's really weird.
Last bit of news heading into our feature topic. EA has addressed feedback from the Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta.
Oh, yeah, I played that too, by the way.
Good work.
Totally forgot.
Including issues around loot crates. In a post thanking players for engaging with the beta, EA discusses likely changes that will appear for the full game. One of the most contentious issues in the beta was the use of loot crates, which raised fears the game may be pay to win. EA has attempted to clarify what these crates will do in the full game. Star cards, outfits, emotes, victory poses will all be available in loot crates purchasable with both in-game credits and premium currency. In an effort to balance the potential effort of players buying crates, the most powerful items will not be included in crates. Instead, they will be unlocked via in-game achievements. Additionally, unlocking most weapons and upgrading star cards will only be accessible in accordance with the player's rank, which can only be progressed by playing the game. Loot boxes, eh?
So this is very interesting. So there's a lot of coverage that came sort of about Battlefront 2, and I played it for about 2 hours. It was fine. It's more Battlefront, which yeah. Fucking stunning. It was really cool to play Battle Droids.
Yeah.
Like, because I oddly love Episode 1 in, like, this weird, like, self-destructive way. So, to be able to play on Naboo, I'm like...
Yeah.
But the loot boxes, so one of the issues that they're sort of having is you can literally buy them out of the gate, and they will give you quite substantial bumps.
Well,
like,
apparently, from what I've seen...
cooldowns by, like, 30, 40%.
Yeah.
Well, battle resistance, like, the big one that's most controversial before... I'll let you jump in and say, Josh, is Boba Fett. Is like there's a special star card you can buy that makes you indestructible when you're jumping.
That's
cool. Oh no, that's this. No, that's not pay to win at all.
But I've also, from what I've seen online too, is that your level is based on your star cards.
Yeah.
So if you just buy a whole fucking bunch of star cards, you're going to out-level everyone
instantly
as well.
And then you get access to it.
Which is literally pay to win.
Mm.
Because I can pay money and be a higher level than everybody else.
Oh, listen, guys, this isn't pay to win. It's just pay to progress quicker than everyone else. It's completely different.
Yeah, totally different name.
What we're saying is our game's not worth playing and not worth grinding, so let's just put the money
winning
in.
Is really dependent on you, but you'll have access to better things.
It's dependent on you and how much money is in your bank.
That's right. It's still skill-based.
So that leads us into...
It's skill-based, but work skill-based or what your pay is. It's like, you know.
Skill-based by your real-life profession.
Skill may not be applicable.
So that leads us into the main topic, which was... Which still doesn't have a name, and it never will. Let's just address that it will never have a name.
Main topic. Never. There you go.
So the ESRB, the Electronic Software Rating Board, has waded into the recent conversation surrounding loot boxes, saying the mechanic does not fulfill its criteria for using gambling as a game descriptor. ESRB does not consider loot boxes to be gambling, a spokesperson for the organization told IGN. That's it. Very blunt. No, that's a big, that's a bigger quote.
Not gambling. Thank you.
Decent sized quote, but I'll get through it. While there's an element of chance in these mechanics, the player is always guaranteed to receive in-game content, even if the player unfortunately receives something that they don't want. We think of it as similar principle to collectible card games. Sometimes you'll open a pack and get a brand new holographic card, which you've had your own for a while, but other times you'll end up with a pack of cards that you already have. Should there be any gambling or gaming-related mechanics in the game, ESRB assigns one of two content descriptors as part of the rating. Simulated gambling, player can simulate gambling without betting or wagering real cash or currency. And real gambling, player can actually gamble, including betting or wagering real cash or currency. If there's any real gambling in a game or app, it will always receive an adults-only rating.
See, that's a really interesting definition. I never thought of that. The whole idea is gambling by definition is you can risk is there, nothing. But you can leave. But because you will always get something. Like, mind you, most of it's garbage, but you'll always win something with loot boxes. Fuck, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a hot topic at the moment, you know, because, you know, we know Jim Sterling is very... It is fucking gambling, whether you want to call it gambling or not. It is gambling, which... It's a very kind of grey thing because, you know, like you are paying money for chance, which is gambling, but you're always guaranteed to receive something as well. Yeah. So there's no chance of you walking away with nothing unless your game crashes or something halfway through opening a loot box.
Yeah. So they see by definition, quote unquote, then it's not gambling. It's the same thing. It's that risk and reward of buying trading cards. Like, you know how many fucking Caterpies I have when I bought Pokemon cards? Like how many unnecessary fucking star use I had.
That's why when you're playing games like Magic the Gathering, if you want to build a specific deck, always better for you to buy individual cards from eBay and card selling sites than to try your luck through booster packs, because you'll never get it and you'll spend a fucking fortune.
So I guess for me, I still think they are sort of gambling, but they're... It's more like I guess it's a lucky dip, really. And, like, that's worse because you're paying this amount of money where what you're getting could be worth more or less. And there is money lost, but in value, not in physical dollars.
Whether it's gambling or not, it's still, like, preys on that same addiction that gambling does. So whether it is or not, it still feels like it could be...
Well, you look at what the app stores have done, like the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, is that any game that has any form of loot boxes and microtransactions has a big warning on there, like, hey, this game sells stuff for real money. And I don't believe consoles have to have that requirement.
I don't believe
now,
so.
Now, in China, any game that has a loot box, the publisher is required to display the odds of receiving any potential item from a loot
box.
That's
awesome.
That's cool.
It's law that came in the end of May this year. That's fucking awesome. It's like, I really want this skin, and they can go on, they can look and go, I've got a 3% chance to get this skin from this loot box, and then it helps you maybe be a bit more informed, or, you know, might sway your decision, because you might go, I'll buy 10 loot boxes for this skin, and go, oh, something got a 2% chance.
Wow, there is a 50% chance that putting all my money on red will come up instead of black. I know that.
Now, whether the publishers actually put the actual odds in there or not, it's a different story. Yeah. But I think they'd be legally obligated. There, and I don't understand why that can't be a thing over in the West as well.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I think that would be an incredibly helpful thing. Because, like, that... I do believe there is... is Tats Lotto, do they provide the odds? I'm pretty sure I've seen it at the bottom of an ad once.
I don't know. I've never looked at Tats Lotto in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm pretty sure I've seen an ad on TV and it's like, potential one in bleh chance of winning, you know, which is interesting. Yeah. And I think it's important to have to sort of give people that expectation that, you know, this is what it is. I think it helps educate prospective parents who are like, oh, can I buy some of these loot boxes, Mum? Mm. Oh, I don't know what, you know.
What's a loot box?
What?
See, like, I think... Yeah, the whatever store you're buying a game from should display, like the app stores have to, there are microtransactions, there are loot boxes, there are... You can trade real money for items in this game. Yeah. Just to let one... Well, there's a lot of parents out of the loop, for starters, that don't understand what all of this stuff is. So I think if China can have all those regulations, if China put their foot down and said, your game's not fucking coming out unless you give us the odds.
Transparency.
Transparency. Yeah. You know, the West just bitches, and they're just like, no, it's cool, it's fine, whatever. Like, I don't understand why we can't have that service here.
It might even benefit some of these companies to put that in as well. So having the percentage of, you know, the likelihood of getting, you know, this red wheel or whatever, this weapon or this exotic skin, maybe if it's, you know, someone's been rolling so many times and not getting the thing they want, oh, okay, it is a rare item, maybe I'll buy more stuff to do. Like, it might actually benefit them.
That would actively consider... Also. I would probably consider it. I'm like, because then, example, PUBG. PUBG has... loot boxes, but in terms of for your clothes that you wear in the game, I was like, fuck loot boxes. I went to the marketplace and I was like, all right, what are the ones that I want for my character looks what, what I want? And I'm like, all right, I'll pay $10 and get the ones I want.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's how I did it. So I did pay it. I did engage in that microtransaction.
No, but it's fine. Like, because it's fine.
Because but they also told me, like, depending on how much it costs, it shows you the rarity of what it is. Like, there's a jacket in... It's like $6,000 on Steam. Yeah. It's Steam Marketplace. It's always some fucking insane. Like, who the hell? But, like, 9 out of 10 times, loot boxes don't interest me in the slightest. Yeah. I understand, like, they are a blight on the gaming, but I don't engage with them reason.
Because this all really started from Overwatch.
Yeah.
Because
yeah?
Overwatch really kicked off this thing. But I think out of all the games recently that have them, like Shadow of War, Assassin's Creed will probably have them, NBA, Forza.
Yeah.
Overwatch actually does it the best. I mean, it doesn't, to me, Overwatch's loot boxes, whether you think about them, whether you like them or not, don't really seem that predatory. Because you get one, you normally get one every time you play. Like, they're giving them out for free. You got ways to get multiple a week for nothing. And they are legit just a skin. But you also can get currency to buy this from the loot boxes to buy the exact skin you want at the same time. I don't see Overwatch's loot boxes as predatory at all.
Yeah, but I think what Overwatch's problem is that slippery slope, right? Mm. It's the whole idea of, hey, we've done it and we've done it okay. And then someone else is like, well, what if we push it a little bit? What if it, and then, like, because, you know, it's essentially like, Forts were like, let's push it. It's just the driver. Mm. And then NBA's like, push it.
You can't customize your character.
Character customization. You're like, yeah, but I can't do anything until and I buy any. It's just cosmetic.
That's the problem with NBA and Forza, I think, at the moment, is that, you know, there's a lot of these features that they had beforehand in their games are now hidden behind loot boxes. Yeah. So even whether it's gambling or not, you like pay for features that you didn't have to pay for before. Possibly.
See, that's what I think. Everyone sort of talks about, you know, the price of games haven't changed, right? Like, they have, because shit's been taken away and we have to pay more for it now. Mm. You know, and then in conjunction with these gold editions, silver editions,
season passes,
games are more expensive than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah.
You know, but then there's, like, you know, as we said with EA. So, like, in terms of the level of escalation, like, we're going to come to a point where you want you literally want the ending, pay money.
Yeah. Mm. So I reached out to the community to get their opinions on what we think. Got a couple of replies here. Glenn Chapman says,
friend of mine from high school.
If rewards spent on loot boxes are random and you can receive duplicates of those rewards, I would consider it gambling. Otherwise, it's an optional pay to progress system. I think it's okay to have these loot box systems in free to play games or where it's purely cosmetic, but paying full price for a AAA game to have a borderline pay to win system disgusts me, and I fear the current trend is taking in the industry.
He's got a spot on point there, because there are times where, like, I think I'm getting cynical towards games just because we're in it so much, and then I have moments that I think about this, I'm like, what the fuck has gaming become?
Yeah.
And I think he's pretty much nailed on the head there, because, like, it's that trend of, like, remember there was a period of time when we had online fucking passes. In order to play a game online, you had to pay $10 or get a code.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that luckily went away, but I don't see these going away anytime soon.
Gaming community sorted that out quickly.
Yeah.
And our buddy Joel Galton says, I don't consider it gambling either. You still get a return for what you paid for. Gambling, I can walk away with absolutely nothing. This is exactly the same kind of risk and reward scenario as buying booster packs for trading card games. I still get cards inside the pack, whether I like what I pulled and feel like it was worth it in the end is a separate issue. Which is another point.
Joel's also spot on.
Every week he's put out the call for questions from the community, and every week I go there and I read everyone else's before I go to type something, and Joel writes something like, oh, damn you,
that's exactly what I was
saying. You nailed it.
But loot boxes as a whole, like, just to close this little segment off, loot boxes as a whole, I'm not against them. I'm against them when it comes to single player games. Like Shadow of War, right? Shadow of Mordor was a single player game. Now Shadow of War has these boxes, primarily a single player game, but there is a multiplayer function in it. Now also, the true ending is hidden behind the multiplayer, which benefits from buying loot boxes. So, but you know, was the multiplayer put in just to warrant having loot boxes in there? Like, was it kind of like, we don't know. I guess you'll find out soon enough because you're playing it for a bit. But you know, could you imagine if games like, let's say The Witcher 4 comes out and it has loot boxes in it? Like, what the fuck is that about? Single player games shouldn't have any of it. Horizon did to some extent with the digital packs you could get, but they were literally just resources. Hey, I got a couple extra fire arrows and some stuff.
I literally didn't even know they had those.
Yeah, exactly. Packs.
And I went through the whole game without knowing it because they didn't put it in your, like, shove it in your face.
They were called resource packs, and you can get some more arrows and traps from them if you really, really need them. That's a shit thing to pay for, though. But yeah, single player games, I can never see a circumstance where they should ever be present, ever. Cosmetic or not. If you're going to make all these cosmetic items, let me find them out in the world. And don't make me have a random chance to get them from a box. Multiplayer games, I can kind of get it for cosmetic. Like Overwatch, as shit as loot boxes are, Overwatch, I think, is the only one doing it fairly and right, if you can put it under a category. And, you know, in free-to-play games, totally fine. That's exactly what they make their money off. That's how they do it. But I would love to see, take China's example and learn of the odds, of make it become a law or whatever, and the stores to display that, hey parents, you know, your kid's probably going to want to fucking buy some loot boxes in this game.
Yep. I totally agree with you. No reason for single players to have it. Mm. Be devastating to have something, and especially even if they are cosmetic, like I guess, you know, things like Arkham, the Arkham games that have, you know, all these different character packs and outfit packs, you'd rather just go to the store and go, oh, okay, cool. I want to play as Nightwing and I want to do the Nightwing specific Predator challenges. I'll just purchase that for $5, or I'll purchase the season pass and get access to all of them. I don't want to get a loot box, pay money to open that loot box and then have it randomized. I'm like, I've already got the Harley Quinn, you know, costume pack. So, loot boxes are, I guess, they're good for some situations, but I'd still prefer if there was an option where you could just outright buy things as well. Like, I play Rocket League, and they introduce loot boxes after season one, after their first year, and they're all cosmetic. There's a couple of new cars in there, and the only way to purchase, you get crates, which are the loot boxes, for free from playing every now and then. They don't come up as frequently as you'd like. But to open them, you have to purchase keys from the PlayStation Store, and it's like, you know, for one key, $3 and $10 and up to $15, and you know, and then it's completely randomized what you get in the crate, and sometimes you're getting duplicates. That's not too bad because it's all cosmetic, but if something really interesting was in there that I wanted to get, I would just pay for it. So,
yeah, I'm the same.
I'm getting frustrated. I've stopped buying Rocket League keys now
because
I've spent so much money, you know, getting different items and things, and people and you can trade between other players on there, which is really cool.
Yep. That's good for your duplicates.
That's
the credit to the Steam Marketplace. If you just get shit you don't want, you just put it on the Steam Marketplace.
Yeah. Well, it's like Persona 5, if you go to the store, they have a lot of different costumes and stuff you can buy. And I bought a costume I wanted because it wasn't a random box of five different costumes and I hate four of them and I want that one. I could just go in there and buy the one costume I wanted, which was the Persona 4 outfits, because I really like them. There are ways to do it right.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Ryan?
Loot boxes, this is that danger, though, by like making it okay over here, and then that it allows that slippery slope for everybody else to do them. I strongly disagree with the idea of paying money and getting something random. I think that's fucking stupid.
Mm.
Period. Mm. Like, the whole idea is, like, one thing that's happening now, loot boxes are sort of becoming a real life thing. If you go to conventions, you go to a lot of stalls, they'll have a fucking Star Wars box, a bunch of random shit. Like, you know, Loot Crate, Geek Fuel, all those fucking boxes that just give you random shit every month. Like, to me, I don't get why that's appealing to begin with. Like, I'm not a big gambler anyway, because like I work at a shitty job that I don't like for my money anyway, so I'm not going to waste that money.
It's just a gamble whether you kill yourself every day or not.
Yeah, but like that is the gamble is me, am I going to leave this building today? Like, there's a reason the windows don't open at my workplace.
Can you imagine putting $5 into a vending machine and then anything comes out?
Yeah,
like, I don't want this apricot yogurt bar. Yes, like,
yeah, like, man, I really want that like Mars bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Grain waves, fuck. You know, like I love grain waves, but I want a Mars bar. Yeah. Like I would be more, I'm more than like, example, Arkham games, right? I fucking love Batman. So I bought the season pass. I bought the, I guess with Arkham, I think the season pass didn't cover all of them. So I bought the single ones.
Yeah.
Because that's what I like. I like that shit. Like there was a, people like, oh, it's just cosmetic. You included. There was a time where that shit wasn't, it was just in the fucking game.
Yeah,
where
exactly. You got 100%.
Them by simply playing the game. Like granted, you'd have to play more than everybody else to unlock a lot of those things. But if it's like, it's just cosmetic, like, motherfucker, there was a time where this is wasn't a thing.
Rocket League just keeps adding content as well. I played over 7,000 games, so I've played Rocket plenty of hours of Rocket
League. Credit to Rocket League. Rocket See, League. They'll go, here's this new match type for free.
Yes. Yeah, yeah they do
they
that.
They trickle out free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
they just added the Fast and Furious cars, didn't they? Or they are.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to buy one. Yeah. I think I'm going to buy the Nissan Skyline, the 91 Nissan.
See, I bought the BVS Batmobile.
Yeah, Rocket me too.
Yeah, I brought that one. I brought the DeLorean. So those are cool things, but other things that are hidden behind the loot boxes, and then you're playing other games and you're saying, oh, that's a cool goal celebration. Oh, that's a cool decal. Ah, but I'm gonna have to roll for it in a box. See, Rand, I have to pay money. Yeah,
I'd rather see cosmetic stuff.
Just let me buy it.
Tied to trophies. It's like, I want that certain outfit. Well, I need to get that trophy.
Oh,
that's a difficult trophy to get, but I unlocked that trophy. Like in game, it's an achievement in game or whatever. But you get that trophy, you get that costume. Like that's trophy cool. Rewards, yeah, it'd be fucking sick.
Score five.
As an example, that is literally what happens in Stardew Valley, right? The community center. You have to get X amount of shit to get this one thing at the community center. Like you're getting a reward for investing time and effort into a particular part of it.
And it's also with the hats as well. There's a little hat store in the bottom of the map.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime you get any kind of in-game achievement, a new hat's available to you from the store. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. See, like, so for me, the whole. Like any time they're instantly randomized, I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
I'll take the free ones that you earn.
Oh, fine, no, I'll take the free one. I'm like, see, that's the thing. Example, Overwatch, right? Like, free loot crate. I'm like, ooh, free loot. What the fuck? I get all this shit for the characters that I don't play. And like, and that's the exact problem.
No one's playing as this character. Quick, get all the parts into the loot box.
You know what they do is they'll like, hey, here is a Reaper loot box. I'm like, okay, I play Reaper. Fuck yeah, bing. Yeah,
and then you could trade it with other people as well.
Yeah,
possibly.
The thing is, like, they do give you like currency towards buying what you want, but as well, you have to think. You know, every item in a loot box in Overwatch's loot boxes has X amount of percent chance to get it. But every time they add a new character, all those percentages drop. Because they're adding new items in with a new percentage, right? So, yeah, just think about that.
You know, an example, you know, those loot crate box things that fucking Dylan does with little Ryan is like you can see Dylan open and go, that's fucking really cool. What the hell? And then the rest is all garbage. Mm. And, like, that's the problem.
No, I think that's the appeal.
So now his house is full of fucking loot crate garbage.
Yeah. But you're getting like real tangible things from that.
Yeah.
Like and real that's, items, yeah, and that's not virtual.
So that's the thing. It's the same thing. Like, you know, people don't value the stuff in loot crates as much.
Mm.
In loot boxes, I should say. Because they don't physically hold them. So I'll be like, oh, I was going to throw $20 in and there's like a bunch of nothing came out.
Yeah.
Where like if you physically paid $20 and it came to your house and here's four shirts, they're all cosmetic. And
of course.
And you're like, holy fuck, I'm going to put all these shirts.
Yeah.
So you're not actively going to do it because you have to...
I'm running out of space.
Yeah, like, I don't have enough wardrobe for all these cosmetics.
Can you imagine if Loot Crate sent you next month's Loot Crate and you got a double of something, though?
Yeah. What am I supposed to do with this? Fuck, got this Iron Man statue last week. God damn it.
That's about wraps that chat up. I want to know what everyone else thinks about this.
Comment below, man.
It's very hotly contended topic at the moment. Dumb. You know, you go to YouTube and look at all the gamer like news things and it's all loot boxes and stuff. We've jumped on that bandwagon we're talking about. But I want to know what everyone else thinks about it because I don't really come down firmly on it on any side of the line.
I only work in extremes. I'm look, a fucking
They're here to stay, obviously. But as far as the publishers can push them, I guess that's up to the gaming community as a whole. You know, before we put our foot down and go, no, this is not fucking okay.
Moving on. This is the section where we talk about the games that are coming to you, as the name suggests, coming to the players.
quite a big list.
Still
this
sounds
week.
Sexually charged.
There's a lot of weird stuff in here, but there's also quite a few big ones. So what I want to change how we do this, because you know I go through it all and then we go back up.
Yep.
Just stop me if there's one you want to talk about.
Okay.
Okay. You too, buddy.
If there's something, I was going to do that anyway. I'm yeah. so glad you said that.
Starting it from the top. Abyss.
Stop.
Abyss. Wow.
Abyss, The Wraiths of Eden, PS4 digital. Bokosuka Wars 2, PS4 digital.
First one was a game.
Chaos Child, PS4, PS Vita digital.
Very Persona
Dungeons 3, PS4 digital retail. LX, PS4 digital and retail. GT Sport, PS4
Stop.
Digital.
Collaborate
retail.
And listen.
GT Sport, this is a huge first party. Yeah. This is, was it? Fuck, who does it?
Polyphony.
Yeah, so this was meant to come out in October of last year. Okay. Like, there was a big hype thing about it. Like,
what's with driving games? Drive Club was supposed to come out and launch it, and it took a year.
Yeah, so I remember there was going to be a big thing at Movie World. Like, there's going to be a series of tryouts throughout the country, and then ending in a big fucking tournament at Movie World. Yes, but like this is
the big line for it at EB Expo.
Yeah, it looked very pretty.
Yeah,
not out. Like we haven't reached out because it was not really our, you know, how would we cover it? Because like I don't fucking care. It's a driving game.
So this comes out on the 17th.
Yeah, it comes out
right?
Tuesday. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Tuesday they actually dropped a demo of it last week on the PlayStation Store for free.
Yeah.
Nice. Did any of you guys get to play?
No,
it?
No, I did jump in.
Yeah. So I played it. I was totally keen on this game to get it. I you know pre-ordered the Steelbook at work. Mm-hmm. Downloaded the demo. They've got access to like a few of the, you know, how they do all the licensing and kind of teaching you how to drive.
Yep.
So they've got, you know, a lot of beginner things there, and then they've got, you know, six other courses in that. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get it now.
Ooh.
I know.
The demo had the wrong effect.
Oh, it did. So
this is why people don't release betas anymore.
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
like, why does someone even release open betas? I'm like, yeah, because they'll be like, that's enough.
It might just be me because I suck at driving games. I Platinum Drive Club and I sunk so many hours into that. And I was, that's why I was so excited for this.
Yeah.
But I guess the more kind of the realistic physics with Gran Turismo, I forgot how...
Yeah, like
difficult it is.
Yeah, Drive Club is a little, it's simmy, but a little arcade.
So that little bit of arcade, especially like with the drifting and this, I was like crashing and counter steer. It's just a corner, shouting at it. So, but at least, yeah, it might still be up there by the time this video airs. So maybe check it out in the store. If not, maybe rent it or buy it.
If not, don't.
Yeah.
Hex, Card Clash, PS4, digital. The Jackbox Party Pack 4, PS4, yes. digital.
Never played a Jackbox Party game.
Oh, so good. So fun. You guys should do a stream of it. All right. It's really fun.
Up to 16 players.
Go to Patreon, patreon.com/popculture. Pick a stream. Help fund that shit.
Megatron Rainfall PSVR.
Megaton.
Rainfall PSVR digital. I just want to read the description of this one. Become an indestructible interdimensional super being in this first person superhero game and save the Earth from aliens.
Oh, fuck.
I always want to do that.
No Heroes Allowed VR.
Hey.
PSVR, believe it or not. Real Farm.
Oh, no.
PS4 digital.
Look Hold away, it. Ryan.
What does it say?
Pull on your boots, fire up your tractor, and cultivate success in a real farm. The most immersive agricultural simulator around.
I'll check that out.
Realms of Arcania, Blade of Destiny, PS4 digital. Rogue Trooper Redux, PS4 digital and retail. South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I'm going to stop in advance.
Oh, I was going to let you go. Fuck. Yes. God, I am stupid keen for this game.
I think it was Trey Parker or Matt Stone said in the interview that they'd love to do a South Park FPS at some point.
Well, they did one on 64.
They do, I remember
that.
Yeah,
they used to like
pee on, shooting turkeys
and
shit.
And like turkeys and cow guns and stuff. And stuff.
Yeah. They said they'd love to return to that at some point.
That'd be awesome. Look, South Park Fresh Mud Hole is fantastic. I've played it like, what, 4 times now, different events.
You've probably seen the whole game.
I've seen a lot of it. Like every time it's been playable somewhere, I've gone and checked it out.
Yeah.
We did the Nodulus Rift like a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing but fart smelling and the whole EV Expo weekend. It was the worst.
Stuck to my
mustache. I've got my little dudes behind me ready to go. I bought some more figures and stuff for the stream. Ugh, we'll be streaming
pop vinyls are dumb.
They are.
I'm going to buy them.
See, pop vinyls are dumb when they don't benefit me.
Look at all these franchises I don't care about.
I'm like, ugh, who the gives a fuck about this? Ugh, why would they make Westworld ones? Oh, South Park. Happens every time. But yeah, we will be streaming this come Tuesday. 8 a.m. 8 a.m. Whoa, fuck work.
Wow.
8 p.m.
Work is cancelled.
Yep. Keen as shit.
Work, if you're seeing this, Ryan was sick.
Yeah, just in advance. I'm not coming in. Spiral Splatter, PS4, PS Vita, digital. Summon Night 6 Lost Borders, PS4, PS Vita. WWE 2K18, PS4 Digital.
Hold it there. We were in talks with 2K. Apparently, we have a review copy coming, so we'll be streaming that this week as well.
Yes, yes. You don't watch it, do you?
Josh.
WWE, yes.
Josh Bryan, yes. Daniel Bryan.
That's his
catch. You got the beard, everything.
I do, yeah.
You're even wearing that meme that's got that coloured shirt.
Yeah, I reckon we can get you a wig. We'll dress up like that dude. He's got a beard too.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Dude's jacked.
Yeah.
His dick's on the internet.
Whoa.
Really? Is it a good dick?
Yeah, it's probably average.
Describe good dick, Ryan.
It's from a weird.
Give us your best description of good dick in 30 seconds.
You're going to get me some good dick.
It was more learning about his exploit, what he considers a good dick.
That's the whole. I think last year, WWE had a whole lot of like sex scandals.
Yeah,
like,
someone hacked Chris Jericho's Twitter and was like releasing nude pics and.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But yeah, so we're going to hopefully be streaming that one as well. Probably on our first weekly.
Weekly Wednesday
streams.
Yeah.
We'll make me. But obviously, cartoon versions of ourselves. You'll be this tall. I'll be like this wide.
Yeah.
I want to see you guys enter the Royal Rumble at 1 and 2 and work together to get to 29 and 30.
Apparently there's awesome. a multiplayer tag team career mode. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's it. That's the final game for the week next week.
Fuck yeah.
Pretty decent week next week, actually.
Great week.
Oh, you guys are talking about yourself. I'll see whether you have any questions. I didn't check.
Good diversity.
Talk to myself.
I don't think we do, actually. From my status?
What's your pick?
No, from the website.
It's definitely South Park. Or
no, I'm not too fast on South Park. I won't be picking it up on release.
You've just watched 3 seasons of the goddamn show and you have no interest in it?
I'm not saying I have no interest in it. I have no interest in paying for it at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Excited for WWE.
Yeah.
I don't watch it much anymore. Or at all, really.
So scroll down. I think the puzzle game, the S one.
The S.
I'm big into puzzle games. I love The Witness, anything like that. Where are we? Spiral Splatter. Here we go. Brain-bending arcade puzzle game that will push your hand-eye coordination to the limit with non-stop mind-boggling puzzles. This is right in my wheelhouse. If this is cheap enough, I'll pick this up. How sad am I?
On the Vita or the PS4?
Oh, PS4. I don't even know where my Vita is.
Somewhere.
Yeah, but like, we don't have any questions. It's just like, hey, it's like, hey, there's a farming game. Like, yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, like, we're in the same
game.
Boat there.
Puzzle game?
Ooh. Like farming?
That's the show. Game.
Anyways, yeah. Thanks for coming on, buddy. And
no worries.
Spending time before you're marriaging.
Look, it was a good drive. Come down, see some of the lovely scenery that.
So the fucking that weird gonna, smell that wherever.
How long
has.
Are you down in Geelong or down the area for?
I am leaving Wednesday. So
have
in
you done,
2 days.
Have you ever done the Great Ocean Road?
No, I haven't. And it was something that we were debating as well. We're just not sure because we need a hire car and everything. Expensive it's going to be.
It's amazing. Yeah. I highly recommend if you get a chance.
Mm. But we've been to Melbourne like 4 or 5 times.
Go see the four and a half apostles. Yeah,
4 and a half apostles. Quick before they're all gone.
You'll pull up just as the last one's like, no. Quick, take a photo.
We'll just.
I'm here down in Geelong looking at the apostle.
I'm live here where one poor apostle is standing,
and it's gone.
If you like that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. How do you join the conversation? It's simple. Head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions for the show. What's that? A week is too long between talking PlayStation? We've got you covered. Head over to join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, join us on Patreon, join us, and let's be PS friends. All the links for that in the video description below.
Buddy, where find you?
You can find me on Twitter at BuddyWatson12. That's probably where I'm trying to be most active. I'm also on Facebook at BuddyWatson. If that's where you prefer. I do a pop culture podcast called Review Culture. Right here, there it is. We're on a bit of a hiatus at the moment, but every time there's like a big release with a movie or something, we generally pop up. So I think our next episode will be on Blade Runner 2049 and Stranger Things Season 2. So,
and do some good music ones as well.
Music ones as well, yeah. Every now and then we'll do an album review or focus on something. So every episode we kind of discuss what we've been playing and listening to
watching. Was it the 3-point check?
A 3-point check, that's right. What have been watching, playing, and listening to.
Fucking awesome. I love the idea of the 3-point check. It's very, very clever.
Yeah, so yeah, that's really cool. That's something we do each week. You can find us on Facebook at Review Culture, Instagram, and also on iTunes and the soon-to-be-defunct SoundCloud. Stay together. SoundCloud. We really need you.
It was such a big thing at some point.
You're holding us together. I don't want to make a website because, you know, SoundCloud's easy. Just stick together.
I can make websites now. Fun fact.
There you go. And also on iTunes as an audio podcast and all good podcast services and even the bad ones.
Even the poop ones.
Even they will take us.
Please listen to us.
Yeah, that's right. Please listen. Review culture.
Anyways, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
I'm Buddy Watson.
And that was For The Players.